Now, more of Beyond Organic with Jerry Kay on Icicle.
Beyond Organic is a production of Icicle Networks and Strauss Communications. Strauss Communications is a San Francisco-based public relations and marketing firm specializing in organic products, sustainable agriculture, and environmental issues. Information is available at www.beyondorganic.com or at 415-777-1170.
And today we're talking about global warming, and I just wanted to thank, I feel like what we do here is really important. And we've done, if you go to our website, beyondorganic.com, and begin to look at the scope of the programs and the topics we cover, it is extraordinary, and you're not going to find the kinds of topics we cover anywhere else. And I wanted to thank, personally, the radio stations that air our program. I wanted to thank Sirius Satellite Radio, the Lime Channel, that's the one we're on, and also our webmaster, John Bendiner, for putting together a great website at beyondorganic.com. So you can get information about all the places you can listen to us. You can download our podcasts. We have two versions, the full program, hour-long program, and also short podcast insights. So thank all of you very, very much. Well, as I mentioned, we've been talking about global warming. Let me bring in from Minnesota, John Bailey. And John is with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. John, thanks for being on Beyond Organic.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell us about the organization first. What's the focus? What do you do?
The Institute for Local Self-Reliance was founded in Washington, D.C. in about 1974, and our work kind of flows organically based on the world around us, but always having a backdrop of environmentally sound economic development and designing rules and as if community matters. And we're a nonprofit, and our D.C. office has two fairly large programs right now. One's the Healthy Building Network, and the other is the Waste to Wealth program. And the staff on those programs work with communities around the country, providing technical assistance on a range of issues like green building materials, recycling, scrap-based manufacturing, building deconstruction rather than demolition, and materials reuse.
I love, let me go back to one thing, and I want to talk to you about neutral bonding, climate neutral bonding, I think is what the program is called. But you said demolition versus deconstruction. What's the difference?
Well, the building deconstruction program at the DC office is basically a program that it's targeted at public housing, typically, or public redevelopment projects. And instead of like demolishing a building and landfilling all that material, the Institute helps to train local people to come in and deconstruct the buildings, set up businesses like reuse centers, and sell those materials rather than landfill them.
What a great concept, just to think about that, demolition versus deconstruction. What is something that I think you're advocating called climate neutral bonding? What is that?
Right. In Minnesota, we work more on public policy issues rather than technical assistance directly. And energy, agriculture, municipal telecommunications, and protecting locally owned businesses are our focuses right now. And in the energy sector, I just published a paper, climate neutral bonding, building global warming solutions at the state and local level. And climate neutral bonding is, the policy itself is pretty straightforward. It just requires that any publicly funded building project using municipal bonds is built so it generates no net increases in greenhouse gases from the operation of that building. And the greenhouse gases we're talking about come from the combustion of the fossil fuels used to supply the energy use in the building, the electricity, the heating and cooling and hot water. And so the policy requires that all these emissions associated with the energy use is offset, and that usually requires a little extra cash up front to pay for these offsets. But in general, when you do this, you will still see significant taxpayer savings from the reduced energy use and operational costs of the building.
I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago that said, who was saying that, that businesses usually look for a two-year return, so they're not likely to be as supportive unless there's some incentives or encouragement. But governments can look at a longer time frame to see results. Post offices around the country are being built or retrofitted with energy-efficient equipment, and maybe it's a seven-year payback. There's definitely a payback, and it's a little longer threshold. Have these bonds been actually executed, and are there buildings that have been built as a result?
I tell you, I have been looking around at this, and I have yet to find a proposal out there or a policy out there in the world that does exactly what we are advocating. So, and if your listeners are aware of something, I'd love to hear about it, actually.
So this is a theory, an idea, but it hasn't really been implemented yet anywhere.
It is. Since this kind of this idea we've been kicking around for several years, and it kind of came to the top of our pile last year because of the Seattle mayor's initiative to enlist communities around the country to sign on to the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement. And that agreement commits cities to meet or exceed the goals of the Kyoto Protocol. So it's adopting the Kyoto Protocol on the local level. And as of yesterday, when I checked on Seattle's website, 202 communities have signed on to that initiative so far. And so last year, I expected to find many innovative policies. And since one of the centerpieces of our new rules project is our website, where we have hundreds of innovative public policies for communities to download and use in their own cities, I started calling around to see, you know, what was happening. And the responses were all over the map. You can expect that cities like Portland, Berkeley, Seattle, and the Aspens and Cambridge, Massachusetts of the world have detailed inventories of their emissions. They have action plans. They're implementing plans. And on the other end of the spectrum were cities like La Crosse, Wisconsin, who replied to my questions with, "We signed on to what?" And it turned out that it was a previous mayor that had signed on the city to the mayor's agreement, and the new mayor had no idea that the city had made such a commitment. In any case, the survey indicated that these cities, many of these communities, needed something that they could enact immediately, and we thought that the climate neutral bonding would be a good first step for them. And the potential impact is pretty big in terms of the public sector. As you noted, the payback periods can be much longer than in the private sector typically. And in 2004, you see a pretty typical year. There were $230 billion in municipal bonds issued for about 9,000 projects. So you see that, you know, you can start impacting things pretty quickly.
John Bailey, my guest. John is with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. We have a link to his organization on our website, beyondorganic.com. Give us, if you could, John, a little bit of a sense as to what's going on, either in cities, in municipalities, and states around the country. You mentioned the signing on the mayors with the Kyoto Protocol locally. What other things are you seeing occur locally?
Well, there's been some interesting, you know, Bill McKibben touched on a few things, but you see, actually, you can look at a private sector example as a recent development. The Whole Foods Market grocery chain, which I'm sure your listeners are aware of, purchased enough renewable electricity recently to supply 100% of all their electric needs. And so that's kind of a climate-neutral type of project, at least for their electricity use. They're offsetting all their greenhouse gases associated with electricity. And Seattle's municipally-owned electric utility announced late last year that they had gone 100% renewable. And another interesting example of late has been Pacific Gas and Electric out in your neighborhood has just announced a program to the California Public Utilities Commission, which would allow all of their customers to get the climate neutral in terms of their electricity and natural gas use by paying a small, I think it ends up being for a typical residential customer, it would be $50 a year or something like that. and that money goes into a fund to do tree planting in California. And
that's great. So there's, of course, you're going to be letting us know as this whole thing moves forward. I would very much like to get you back on and really continue to report on some of these examples. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should be bringing some of the people in specifically, whether it's PG&E or Seattle or whatever, Whole Foods, talking about them too. And you're welcome to at home to let us know what your community is doing. John Bailey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. John Bailey with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. I want to thank our producer, Nathan Beers, our engineer, Jada White, executive producer, Michael Strauss, webmaster, John Bendinger. I thanked you twice today, John. And I want to thank all the stations and Lime Network for broadcasting our program. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you next week right here on Beyond Organic.